Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Pastor Vera. And when I was praying about, as you know, we're doing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I was praying about, Lord, who would you have come and speak on the gift of healing and the working of miracles? And straight away, Pastor Vera's name popped into my mind. And I was actually invited by a friend a couple of years ago to hear her speak, and to she shared some of her testimony of just what she's seen throughout the world. She has an incredible anointing by the Lord to go and pray for the sick, to believe for miracles, and to see God at work. She is a healing evangelist who's used mightily by God in signs, wonders, and miracles. And she has ministered healing and deliverance on nearly every continent in this world. And so we feel very blessed that she's decided to come to Little Forestfield today, because she just loves Jesus. And you'll hear that. And that's what I want to just encourage us today, that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is our healer. And he simply works through his people. And I love that about Pastor Vera. She's just so humble and gives all glory to Jesus. She has a ministry that she leads, Jesus Heals Us Ministry. And she holds regular meetings in the Healing House and has seen many miraculous works of God as she just keeps doing his will and keeps being obedient. So why don't you, and we just want to say a warm welcome to Albert. Did I get that right? So Pastor Vera and Albert, thank you for coming and supporting us. And we just want to give you a warm welcome, Pastor Vera, to give her a hand. Can I just pray for you? Yes. Father, we just thank you just for Pastor Vera. We thank you, Father, for her heart for you. We thank you for the anointing that you've placed upon her life. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that she carries. And Father, we just thank you that you would just speak through her directly to the hearts of your people today. Holy Spirit, that you will work in and through her, that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, as you know, I don't know what is happening in this church, but all I know is God has sent me here today. It was Pastor Carey that sort of reminded me about 3 weeks ago. Hey, you coming here? I said, oh, really? Because he told me about coming here a long time ago on sharing on the Holy Spirit. And then after that, I had a call from Carla and a message that I'm submitting my scriptures. And usually, I don't even know what I am preaching. That doesn't mean that I have not prepared, but I have prepared. I always prepared, but I allow the Holy Spirit to come today to minister to all of you. And I want to really appreciate and thank you, the pastoral team, for inviting me today. It's like I'm seeing the glory of God. Praise God. Well, to those who does not know me, my name is Vera Lim, and I have a ministry in Perth for the last... Well, I have the Healing House for the last 13 years, and I've been in ministry for 20 years, and all I started was just me and Leslie sitting in my dining table and reading the Bible and praying in tongues. Like the lady said, that if you want really to have breakthroughs, you just have to pray in the Spirit and read the Bible. And that's what I did. That was like maybe 25 years ago. And then from that humble beginning of starting it on my dining table with just me and another lady that is slightly older than me, we began to pray and started having a healing meeting in my house in Rossmoy. And so from two people, we grew up to 75 people packed in my house with miracles just happening every Tuesday morning. And because of that, God told me that he would give me a house just to do healing. And I say, God, how is that possible? When I don't collect offering at my meetings, I don't even have a bank account. God said all things are possible. To cut the story short, I do have a big healing house. We sit on a four-block land just next to Murdoch University. And it has 9 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, a huge backyard. And so we have a chapel. It's not a church. It's just for healing and deliverance. I do a lot of deliverance and healing. And God has blessed us. And so it's an incredible journey. But I won't share that part. But today I felt that, though I know that I need to pray for the sick, I know whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, He is here. His job is to heal the sick. You guys are very quiet. The Holy Spirit has empowered us to heal the sick. And whenever we preach the gospel, it's followed by the power of God. Because the gospel is the power of God. The word of God is the power of God. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, I know that I have to pray for the sick. Well, you know, I know that you also have an AGM. So you either, do you know what I mean? Pray for the sick. Yes, we will pray for the sick. And but if I take too long, which I'm not going to share a long story, but you might want to hear some of my stories. And I believe that, you know, in every ministry is about testimonies. So today I just want to introduce the Holy Spirit to you and then also talk to you about the impossible faith that God has showed me and led me. And I believe that you will be blessed by my ministry. I have my husband here, faithful as he is, gentle as he is, always supporting me, Albert, always supporting me. And I have 2 grown-up kids. And God is so good, and I've got 1 grandson. I won't tell you how old I am, but God is good. He has given me strength and youthfulness, and I believe. One time I was saying to God, you know, I say, Lord, I am past my retirement age for long now. It's really time for me to retire, and I should do less work and more with the family, enjoying my garden and my grandchildren. But the Lord says to me, you know, He says, when you are going towards the end of your race, do you hurry up or do you slow down? That shook me. And I say, I hurry up. I run like crazy. And so I told the Lord that wherever you call me, I will go. Just open the doors. I will not complain. You know, though I travel the world, I travel to many continents, I do come back and say, I'm tired. I wish I could stay in Australia all the time. And so I know that, how come you're in this ministry? We don't know you. Well, now you know me. Do you know that in our life, there is a time and season for God to show who you are? I'm not one that look for platform to preach. I believe I'm busy as it is in my own ministry. And I believe that if God wants me to preach in this church, He will open a door supernaturally. But He has. I have known Pastor Carey for a long time, but this is the year. But it's funny though, you know. I was just thinking, like, this is the second church that was just within this month. I preached, this is my second church, that they have told me that there is some slight change and I should felt it in my spirit. I couldn't say anything. But you don't say everything when you walked in, right? But I just felt like, you know, Carrie, this is the time. 18 years is a long time of ministry. Now I'm going into the prophetic. I don't know, but let me say to you, 1 + 8 = 9. 9 is coming to the fullness of where you give birth to a baby. And I believe that God has led you into this church and He is going to birth something really new for you. Both you and your wife, Sally, is going to enjoy this part of the ministry in the next 10 years. You're going to see amazing things, amazing doors being opened. God bless you. So I also feel like even for Jackie, you are the youth minister, you are the youth pastor here. I know Jackie through Victory. I'm from Victory Church. And I believe that Jackie, you know, God has put you here for this time and season is to bring up the young people to see revival. many, many young people that have gone through tough times is going to look at you to see the success in your life, and they are going to follow what you are doing. And I pray that God is going to bless you and open many more doors for you. Praise God. Well, my message entitled today is like, I would like to talk more about the Holy Spirit. Like, even the whole song was about the Holy Spirit. And you see, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's about the greater one that is inside you. And as I was driving here, the Lord told me that if you are sick, the greater one that is inside you wants to heal you. The greater one that is inside you, your body is the temple of God. And God would not allow his temple to be weak, to be sick, to be in pain. And so you need to call the greater one that is inside you and believe the greater one that is inside you. That he is going to resurrect. He is going to strengthen your bones. He is going to strengthen your muscle. He is going to build up your kidney. He is going to build up your heart. He will not let any burst veins in your brains. And I looked around here. You are, a lot of you are, majority are seniors, right? But it's going to change. And how does it change? I see, like, maybe the older generation will have one service singing all the hymns and all the old songs. And then the younger generation is going to come and they're going to hype up this place. You know what? Those seniors are not clapping. Only you are clapping. Why don't we clip a big clap to the Holy Spirit and welcome his presence here. Hallelujah. And I truly believe this is going to happen. If you look at me, I'm Asian. I'm born in a Muslim country, Malaysia. Studied in England. I met my husband and I then migrated to Australia, the great southland of the Holy Spirit. And when we came, I was not a Christian. But I had a life encounter with God where I actually died on the operating theater. And I was a non-Christian. Let me tell you this. Every evangelist, every people that walk in miracles, they have to have an experience, an encounter with God. Otherwise, you don't pursue this with passion. I don't have any jealousy for anybody, but I am so jealous for God. I guard him with all my heart. And so it was at that encounter where I actually died. I was a non-Christian at that time, but I go to a mission school and I began to call on to God. And this is what happened. That's how I felt. You see, when you die, you're going into a very dark tunnel this way, not that way. I don't know why this way, because I remember this way. It was like I'm going to a very dark tunnel. I was very afraid. Don't know where I was going. Now, this is after the accident in the hospital where I believed that I was dead. And at that time, I truly believe that God's word says that he wants everybody to be safe. So at the point of your death, that is why it's very important for you to keep on sharing the gospel to everyone, even if they don't want to listen. It does not matter. Because when they go through the tunnel, they will remember what you said. See, when I was at school, I hear all these things, but I don't listen. I wasn't committed. But when I went through the dark tunnel, I said, God, Jesus, if you are real, you see that sense, that feeling that you are going to know, you're going to somewhere that you are afraid of, called hell. You see, you say, oh, you know, when you share the gospel, you either go to hell or go to heaven. You don't share this kind of message like that. But you actually should sometimes, because it scares the daylight out of them when they're actually going through that tunnel. So I went through and I say, God, I know I'm going to somewhere that is not good. I believe it is hell. At that time, nobody preached a message to me. Now I got to preach to myself after hearing from so many people. So I say, Jesus, if you are a real God, take me out of this place. And instantly, my spirit was on the ceiling looking at the operating theater where the doctor was trying to revive me and my heart collapsed. My heart has stopped, my lungs has collapsed, and I was on a ventilator. And when I looked, I could hear all the conversation that was going on. And I heard my husband saying to me, "Can you squeeze my hand if you know I'm here?" Is that correct? I want him to shake his head. Because I'm not telling lies, it's truth. Instantly, my spirit came back to my body. How do I know it's a spirit? Because spirit got eyes to see. You were just looking down at your body. So when you die, your spirit actually leaves you. When I came back to my body, I felt pain. Pain as in breathing with the respirator. And when you are not in rhythm with the respirator, you feel like you are drowning. And that was how I felt. And I would just call on to Jesus. When I came out of the intensive care and of the thing, I told Albert, I was 10 hours in the intensive care. I said, "This is what happened. I went to hell. I'm on the way to hell. I spoke to God. I went through a dark tunnel. Please remind me." You know how when you're heavily sedated, you can wake up and you can forget. But I didn't want to forget this experience. I promised him that I would go to church. And so I came out of hospital 3 weeks later, and they say that I was allergic to the general anesthetic that I was having. And Albert took me to church, and we drove a long way from where we live. London is very hard to find church, you know. So we found a church, and then when we came back from church, he said to me, "If you want to be a Christian, then I will divorce you. Is that correct? He shook his head. But you know what? God is faithful. Instantly, he says to me, "Submit to your husband." At that time, I never read the Bible. Why would you submit? This is like 40-odd years. So now you're going to know my age. This is like 40-odd years. He says, "Submit to your husband." I say, "Okay, what does that mean?" That means you can pray in the toilet. You can talk to me. I don't even have a Bible. And so that year, next year, we applied to come to Australia, and we came to Perth. And during the first year, praise God, she was watching the television on the weekend, and he said, "Let's go to church." And ever since then, we became Christian. Praise the Lord. So I believe that God has brought me here. By the way, I do Perth for Jesus. Some of you don't know. We have a stadium event where we do miracle signs and wonders. And that's where God has told me to do it. And again, we have been doing it for the last 8 years. How many of you been to Perth for Jesus? Okay, some of you have seen those mighty miracles that God is doing. And it was for 8 years. And now we do community where we go to the parks and to areas. And the last one we did was Margaret River. So it was like called Festival of Hope. And so God has called us to do things like that. So today I want to share a little bit of where I come from. Like I said, everyone have a story to tell of their life with God. And we should be sharing it all the time, right? And so today I want to share about the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't think, without knowing Him intimately, I don't think I will be where I am right now. So who is the Holy Spirit? We try to explain Trinity, and most of us find it difficult to explain. You can explain who is God, God the Father, and God the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, and how do you put them all together in creation, in the plan of God? Let me tell you this. God has always got a plan, a backup plan. If this thing don't work, he has always got a backup plan. So in creation, we see that God is the designer of the creation of this world. He's the one that plans and designs. But Jesus is the executor of his plan. Like he has a plan that he is going to create heaven and earth. And Jesus is the one that say, let there be light. Let there be darkness. Jesus is the one that say, he is in the beginning of creation. He is the one that say it. But who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one that follow the word of Jesus and beautify whatever God has planned and Jesus has said. He is the beautifier. Like in the redemption, God has prepared Jesus to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross and he's resurrected, that he has finished his job. But the person that is taking over Jesus on earth is the Holy Spirit that beautifies the bride like us, so that we can walk into the fullness of God. So if you know how, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I don't know how to pray, whether I pray to the Father or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, excuse me, I'm the only one with that problem. Right? We get confused who to pray and how to pray. But then when you understand that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will do everything that you have asked in the name of Jesus to the Father. Amen? For when you say, by his stripes you are healed, you have called out that word, you have believed that word, you have believed the sacrifice. The person that is inside you that is doing is the Holy Spirit. So truly, there are three persons in the Godhead. Like you're a human being, right? There's three parts of you as well. Your brains, your memory, your spirit, and your body. Your body is not the real you. But I believe the real you is your spirit man. Like when I saw that, looking at my body is nothing. The question is, how do you feel when you know you died? Well, in the flesh, right now, you feel scared to die. But really, if you have happened, you are not scared. You don't think about missing your husband, your children. You don't have those feelings. I'm talking from my experience. I don't think about, oh, I'm missing my husband. No, my focus at that time is, am I with God? Am I spending eternity with him? When you are at a place, you think about what you're going to do at the place. You don't look back like, you know, like we have left Malaysia like 40 odd years. For me, maybe 50 odd years. Why would I think about Malaysia anymore? I'm right now in Australia. I'm thinking about what I'm doing right now here. What, you know? And I believe this is exactly what will happen. When your spirit leaves your body, you think about where you're going and how you spend eternity with God. And so for you to understand the part of the Holy Spirit is very important right now here. In the way that you respect him, in the way that you honor him, in the way that you are aware that he is inside you. You see, when you see Jesus, when he was born, the Holy Spirit is the one that fathered Jesus. Is that right? You read in Matthew chapter 1. But in your flesh, you are fathered by your own father. So Jesus has a father of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Well, think about it this way. That if the Holy Spirit has fathered Jesus, and he is the one that give us this book, that means every word that is written down here is power. And when you know, a lot of people say, you know, I don't hear from God. Can you pray for me? I mean, it's true and it is not true. It's like if I'm talking right now and somebody's in the car park, it won't be able to hear me. It's, I can't hear you. I turn on the mic a little bit louder, the speaker a bit louder. They still can't hear me. Because why? The person is not close to me. But that does not mean that I'm not here in this house. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you are so far away from the Holy Spirit can hear you, but you can't hear the Holy Spirit because of your distance. And in order for you to be close to the Holy Spirit is to get back to His Word, that is His presence. Hello? So you got to yield to Him. And as you yield to Him, you begin to read His Word. And when He talks to you, He doesn't talk another language. He doesn't talk another picture. But He just talks everything that is in the Word that is written. Everything that is in the Bible is about your life. You know, we sing all the songs about victory. But yet many Christians are not in victory. Have you asked the question why? You know, I remember when I pray for anyone that they remain sick, but they are sitting in church, I like to know where is their level of faith. Faith in the Word. You know, some people can just parrot, by His stripes I'm here, by His stripes I'm here, by His stripes I'm here, by His stripes I'm here. And you keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. But that's not right, because that word that is logo has to turn into rhema words for you. That word has to turn a rhema word so that you can rise up and believe that by His stripes I am healed. You remember I told you about that I want to run fast this race. So I'm sharing in between some testimonies so that you can relate how I walk with the Holy Spirit and how I believe that word. And so I woke up one morning, I couldn't walk. And I have to preach on Sunday. That was Thursday. And I say, God, and by then it was just during COVID, I didn't travel at all. But when we were able to travel, we have to take all the vaccination and all that. I took it so that I can travel. So I woke up, I couldn't walk, and I say, this is not on. So I started praying and pleading the blood. Nothing is happening. So I decided that, you know, when I'm sick, I just don't simply say, I'm sick. I say a little lot of things about my sickness. I don't. I share it to myself and I share it to the Holy Spirit. Well, by this time, I still couldn't walk. So I hopped out and said to Albert, and I said, look, I got to see a doctor, which I don't usually say. Or I see a physio. We rang these two people, the doctors, the physio, nothing happens. They couldn't fit me in. So I said, well, I got to turn to the Holy Spirit. That's so bad, you know. I should go to the Holy Spirit first. But my impatience makes me want to quickly, because I'm thinking of Sunday and now it's Thursday. So anyway, while the doctors are not available and the physio is not available, I decided to lie on my carpet. And I say, Holy Spirit, I need you so much. Can you be my physio today? Can you show me what must I do? So she said, now you just lie down and just relax. So I did. He said, now you lift up that leg that you can't walk. Well, I can lift up. He said, now you can bend. Well, I couldn't bend. So I tried and I say, in the name of Jesus, I can bend. In the name of Jesus, I can bend. By the blood of Jesus, my. So I imagine all my muscle and tendon is now covered by the blood. And I'm speaking and I'm believing the Holy Spirit to bring that power. And then suddenly as I stretch, and then he says stretch, all the movement he told me, I did it. And as I stretch, I could felt that my leg is able. I felt something in my leg. So I stood up and I started, I can walk. You know what I did? I put on my walking shoe. I ran out to the front And I began to walk. And as I walked, I began to praise God. I said, God, I'm now not retiring. I'm going to preach the gospel. Just send me all over the world. I will preach the gospel. I was like a mad woman going down. I was in faith. Because I could walk. To let you know, I'm 69 years old. In a few months' time, I'm going to be 70. But I say, no, I'm not retiring. My bones are all strong. My muscle is strong. And as I was saying that, after walking, I came back. Well, they found me healed, right? My children, my husband, and Selena. And I sat down at my on the table, and I started reading the word and just going into the word again. I had a call from Singapore. He said, Vera, would you mind going with me to New York? I didn't even turn back and ask Albert, is it okay? I said, yes. Because just half an hour ago, I was walking. Yes, I will go. I will open doors. You know, sometimes people open doors. You don't even want to go because it just takes too much of your time, too much traveling on the plane. It is economy. It's not business class. So it's a bit. And so this lady said to me, you will go with me to New York? I said, yes. He said, okay, I buy you a business class. I said, yeah, I'm going. And so he said, it's going to be 2 weeks. I said, don't worry, we'll go. And usually I don't travel more than 2 weeks and be back because of my ministry. I said, I'm going to go. And then from New York, doors begin to open. We go to Hawaii. We go to San Francisco. We go to Connecticut. We go to Long Island. Doors begin to open for me. And I, you know, when I went to New York, I don't know anybody. We just had a room. An apartment, like a hotel room where you can do your cooking and a lounge room. And as I walked into that room, I said, you see, when you have the Holy Spirit, the greater one that is inside you, whatever you speak, he's going to do it. So this is what I say. Remember, I don't know anybody in New York. So I say like this. This room is going to be the healing room in New York for me. 2 weeks here. I'm not doing nothing. And then we just declare it and believe it. And then a couple of days later, I found out that there was a pastor that I know in Perth that has gone to Washington. So I thought he was in Washington, but he happened to be in New York at that time and I was there. So we met on Friday and he brought his 14-year-old son who was blind on one eye. And so we went out for dinner. And after dinner, I say, well, bring your son to the house, to the apartment. And there I begin to worship God and pray for healing. And instantly, that boy's eyes open. You see, if you believe that God has taken you there, it's not just to enjoy New York. It's not just to enjoy the business class. There's something for you to do. And through that miracle, I was open. A door was opened to me to preach in Long Island in a church of 500, more than 500. It was a big church. I remember going to the big church, and this is what the pastor said to me. Well, at least Sister Carla says to me, you know, do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. When I went there, there were Assemblies of God Church. It says to me like this. He said, this is the proceed. This is what we do on our programs. So we will sing 4 songs. And then after that, we have somebody read an exhortation on Psalm. And then after that, we have 3 songs. And then after that, you preach for, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes. And then after that, you pray. Is that okay? Well, this is what you all do today. But I thought to myself, no, I want to check my heart. That just because it's a big church, I want to submit to leadership. No, I submit to the Holy Spirit. And so this is what I say. Sorry, Pastor. No, I can't work like this. And they all looked at me shocked. I said, I don't know how the Holy Spirit will work. But it may be the other way. I will pray first and then I preach. I don't know. But to cut the story short, I walk up to the to the platform, remember, all the musicians has left. I call them back again. We started worshiping. And I began to call out word of knowledge. And I said, there is a person here with irregular heartbeat. You have checked the doctors. The doctor could not find anything, but you're still having it. Today, God wants to heal you. Guess what? They were very traditional church. That person didn't come out. Now, I'm saying to myself, well, you will say, well, I think the Holy Spirit has not spoken and you sort of by the flesh. I am so sure because I would not have taken the mic and stand here and immediately this information come to me, right? It's just like I have prepared a message. I say, Holy Spirit, I will still allow you to do whatever. So right now, whatever comes to my spirit, I'm speaking it out. And so nothing happened. Then the Holy Spirit said, oh, now you have to point that person out. Well, that will be more embarrassing, right? Well, is that what they want? So I did. I said, hey, you man, stand up here, come here. And I began to pray and he began to cry. And then I said, okay, I'm going to preach now. And after I preached, you know, I gave the word. The singer, the worship leader at the back of me came out to me and said, Pastor Vera, I am the one that with an irregular heart. And I've been to the doctors last week. They say there's nothing wrong with me, but I'm still feeling this irregular heartbeat. And the mother came along and they told me, I am the pastor's daughter. And then the mother said, I am the pastor's wife. I was even more shocked. Then I began to understand that certain tradition thinks that all the pastor's sons and daughters, they don't get sick. They are perfect being. They give that image, right? But anyway, I prayed for her and she was totally restored. Her heart became normal beat. What am I trying to say to you? That when you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you got to ignore all the things that your flesh is telling you to do to please man, but you got to please God. And therefore, in my thinking, I felt like I should try to develop. I'm still developing, walking stronger. I would like to see that when I attend a meeting, it will be like Benny Hinn. You don't need to lay hands. Zoop, everybody starts getting healed, right? So I'm still the traditional way where you are sick, I lay my hands on you. But today, because of your AGM, I pray that we will do a mass healing. And I know, I think the first miracle that God is going to do is that worshiper there, that lady, where is she? Where is this lady here? Oh, you are there? Yeah, God is going to heal your ankle and going to heal you. That would be the first miracle that this church is going to see. And not only that. Hey, do you believe? I believe that God is going to also heal many backs and stuff like that. Back pain. You've been suffering for a long time. And so today I said to you that nothing is impossible. I have introduced the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus said that if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. And after Jesus has finished his work of redemption, it is the Holy Spirit that will perfect us. It is the Holy Spirit that is inside us that is doing the work. And sometimes people say Holy Ghost. When you tell people Holy Ghost, why ghost? Why not spirit? Why not God? So you ask this question. Like, how do you associate the Holy Spirit that is inside you? Well, think about this. When you were born, we all know that we were born in sin. The nature of sin is in us. The flesh, your flesh is at work together with the devil the day you are born. But the day that you are born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is waiting to work with you. Some people think that, you know, speaking in tongues means you're working with the Holy Spirit. No. Some people speak in tongues, but they still don't do anything. They still sit in the church and do nothing. But if you are a Spirit-filled, working for the Holy Spirit, you will be preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, bringing the lost, sowing the seed, and bringing people to the Lord. Is it right? And I see a lot of gray hairs here, but I want to ask you, I'm getting old. Do you know what you can do? You can pick up a phone and call up any young people here. Can you come to my house for coffee? I bake some cakes for you. I don't think they will refuse. You see, all the knowledge that you have gained need to be imparted. You need to tell the younger generation what is to live for God so that they will be mightier and stronger than you. And I truly believe that we got to raise up the next generation. Well, all my friends are younger than me. If so, you are gray hair, you want to look younger, please get some fellowship with young people. So for these young people, you'll be having some phone calls. Give your phone exchange to these people. They're going to give that to you. Amen? Praise God. So nothing is impossible with God. As I say, when the word of God comes into your life, you will receive peace. And Jesus will give his word through the Holy Spirit through you. And there will be power working inside you. We heard about, the Bible says that the more you are in the light of God, the more that you are in the word, the more powerful you are, the greater you are, the more healthier you are. Is that right? For my word is life to you and medicine to your flesh. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. So what are you saying? You know, you ring up your friends and you tell them all the problems of your body and how you feel. Then you recite to them scriptures. We always know in faith ministry that when a person recites scripture to you, that they are in a bit of trouble. But you join them and begin to pray for them and believe that God is working through them. Jesus taught us about faith. He says, faith is like a mustard seed that can grow into a tree. Is that right? Remember, he was talking to the fig tree. If Jesus can talk to a tree, you can talk to your body's organ. You can talk to your back. You can talk to your legs. Because everything that he has created has intelligence. Hello? Do you believe? Well, you believe, you got to start speaking. You got to start exercising your faith and speaking that if Jesus tell me to speak to the trees and Jesus speak to me and tell me to speak to the mountain, I will speak to the mountain. I will speak to the tree. This sickness will not be in my body. My body is the temple of God. You know, you remember the beggar that was outside in the book of Acts in the temple begging. When he was begging for money, and he was lame. But the minute the Holy Spirit healed him, he wasn't outside the temple begging. He was inside the church worshiping and praising God, even though he still had no money. So don't tell me that money is the one that makes you happy. But it's an attitude of heart and the Holy Spirit working with you that peace, righteousness, and joy of the Holy Ghost is inside you. I truly believe that if we all were to speak the word of faith, you speak to the mustard seed. Look, think about this. Don't say a mustard seed is too small. An orange seed. Can you imagine an orange seed? Can you imagine the orange seed started having roots and starting having stems? And then started growing through a tree and become fruitful. And that's what you need to think about. When you think about the seed that you are going to sow, the health words that you're going to speak to your body, right? is going to be healthier and healthier as you speak. Otherwise, God will not tell Ezekiel. He said, prophesy to the dry bones. He said, speak to the dry bones. Are you speaking to your organs? Are you speaking to your immune system? Is what the doctor report tell you, you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, then God's word that is inside you, you repeat it and repeat it and believe that it is going to be healed. We need, you know, some people have been healed, like, you know, you may have been healed 30 odd years ago. You're still sharing the same testimony. There's still nothing new coming out. Your level of faith is still the same. You're still sitting on the back seat, the same chair, the same row. Your faith has never moved. I think it is time. Doesn't matter how old you are. We need to shift our level of faith from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That's what a Christian should be. You should be living victoriously. From glory to glory. You know, like I said, my healing house is like a hospital. You know, only sick people come there, and then after that you don't see them. I'm not offended. Because I'm not here for membership. I don't collect offerings, so I don't depend on that. But what I love to see is they go to church and they start growing and maturing into the things of God. That they may have been healed, but they will continue to move their faith. And so I believe the Bible also says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Let's turn to that. I like the scripture. It says that you have overcome. You got it up there? Okay, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. The Antichrist is already in the world. It is not an Antichrist that comes at the end time. It is already in the world, working against God. Right? And then it says, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that who is in the world. Well, think about this. That means your flesh, which before had the Antichrist, is always fighting against you with God. So therefore, you need to stand up and say that the greater one that is working in me. You know, I was having a little bit of cough on the way here. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, this is a revelation. He says, you know, the greater one that is inside you is working now on your throat. And I say it and I believe it. Well, you haven't heard me cough, right? I pray this prayer. I say, God, when I preach, I have no cough. I believe. Do you believe that? Everybody, when you start, oh, can I have Strepsils? Can I have cough mixture? No, you don't. You need the blood of Jesus. You know who is inside you. You know that the person that is inside you is the Holy Spirit. He can't wait. All you have to just say, Holy Spirit, come. He is just by your side. He's waiting to work with you. And how did I learn about the walk? Just a little bit, and then I'm going to close and pray for the sick. For those who are very new in the Holy Spirit, that's how I begin. I went to Surabaya about probably 20 years ago. And I was very blessed because God opened a lot of doors for me to be with big pastors. Like I was with this pastor, Alex Abraham. He has 25,000 congregation. At that time, the largest church in the Southern Hemisphere. This is like 20 years ago. Me and Albert, we have found favor, and he invited us to Indonesia, and I stayed in his house. And the wife took me shopping, and as I was shopping, I walked into the shopping mall. This is in Surabaya. I saw a lot of like pieces of paper and rubbish. And I, on that morning, I already say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you just teach me. Whatever you tell me, I will do. This is very dangerous when you say that you don't know how he's going to teach you. And he said, okay. And so I was walking into that place. And then I hear this voice said, oh, pick up all those papers you see in the mall. And I said to myself, like, you think you will be asking yourself to pick up rubbish? And I'm with a big pastor. That would look very silly, right? You think I'm cuckoo. So I waited when she's not watching. I quickly bend down and pick it up and put it in my bag because I couldn't find a bin. I did that a couple of times and I said, Holy Spirit, but you will not test me because, you know, I will pass the test, but you won't test me further, isn't it? This is how I talked to him. So I was walking and so we would continue shopping and then it was quite early in the early part of the morning and people were preparing the shops and I was going into this shop and I didn't do anything. I was just passing by this. This lady was hanging up with the clothes and suddenly all these clothes fell onto the floor. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, please help her to pick it up. But there were a lot, not just one or two, like maybe 20, 30. And put it back onto the rack, you know. And I look at the pastor's wife that was there, Jenny. And I thought, no, I can't do it now, you know. Because she's watching. Otherwise, you'll be like a silly fool, right? So anyway, she said to me, you know, God is good. She said to me, oh, Vera, I'm going to the coffee shop there to have some coffee. You take thing. Ah, I took that moment and I helped the lady. The lady said to me, oh, no. I said, yes, please, let me help. So I believe listening to the Holy Spirit is, number one, he tells you to do things, just little things. And then it increases as you have faith that he is not leading you to do things that I know I don't like, but I will still do it. But after a while, you find that you enjoy this walk with him. You enjoy. He's telling you things that you shouldn't do. And that was the beginning of my walk with the Holy Spirit. And I would say that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We need to fear God. We need to be aware that we need to live in holiness and righteousness as the best as we can. And I believe that God will reward us with health, you know, with peace, with joy, in the name of Jesus. So will the musician come and we're going to pray for the sick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you want a miracle today? You want a healing? And may I suggest that as we sing this song, you come forward because I know we are pressed for time and I know that those who have put up their hands, God is going to heal you. So when I come to you, or I would encourage Pastor Kerry or any of you, you want to help me to pray, you're welcome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Will you stand and you come forward? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.